variety, culture, and class in America. Live from Long Island's Gold Coast, this is the Melissa Itell Duran Show on Breaking It Down Radio with co-host Frank McKay.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the Melissa Itell Duran Show. Frank McKay here with the author, the novelist, the dancer, the mother, the wife, the little bit of everything, the subject of two documentaries, the a radio show host, of course, and she is a Renaissance woman, and just so impressive. Go to MelissaIteldjoran.com, and you'll see how impressive. Watch the documentaries, and when you're not driving, listen to the shows that we've been doing over the years, hundreds of shows, and wonderful. Because of one reason, Melissa Itell Duran. Hey, Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing great, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing well. And look, it's never a dull moment, I guess, in Washington. Although the second impeachment just doesn't have my attention, and it just seems like a waste of time. They're not going to get 17 votes in the Senate, right? So, I mean, what's your take? I shouldn't speak for everyone, but. To me, it doesn't seem very exciting.
Well, no, it isn't, but they're trying to, I guess, beat a dead horse the second time around. I think what it is they just don't want, they want to make sure that former President Trump doesn't come back again in 2024. Now, even though there are talks of his forming another party, the Patriot Party.
Yep.
Because he's just discussed it with the Republicans, who seem to be, in some cases, in some ways, abandoning him, so we'll see where that is. And incidentally, with President Trump, the Screen Actors Guild, and I didn't know that he even belonged to them, they have rescinded his membership, and he said, "Who cares?"
Wow. Well, by the way, Screen Actors Guild is a very left-wing group, right, so that's right. It's not surprising that they would do that.
Yeah. No. It's just funny. It just
yeah. I'm sure he cried all night that he got that. Yeah, I'm surprised he's even a member. I guess why not be that? And I guess he's got it because of, well, actually, he's got a lot of screen credits, just as cameos. Just popping on. I've binge watched a lot of things over the course of the pandemic, and in The Sopranos, not that he was in The Sopranos, but they've mentioned him like three or four times, mentioned him as in reference to having a lot of money or power or whatever. And this is well before he ran for president, of course. So he was constantly referenced. And then, he's shown up on places, and his voice has shown up on places, and, all types of things. So it not a problem getting into the Screen Actors Guild. But it's not the type of thing that I think he would cry about. Is that what he said? Who cares? That was his quote?
Yeah, like, who cares? Like, big deal. Like, so what? What do I need them for? Like, like, if we, if we were told that we were being thrown out of Andrew Cuomo's Twitter circle, like, it's like, okay, guess
we'll
what?
Live.
I got rid of him first.
Yeah, we'll live. That's okay. Interesting. You brought up Andrew Cuomo. I was sent something, and actually, I was sent it. It was sent to me by a prominent Democrat, and it has Andrew Cuomo using air quotes saying, "Well, the so-called experts," and he uses the air quotes. And he said they say this, and he was talking about the medical experts and whatever, when they were criticizing the nursing home situation with how he handled coronavirus and everything, is said so-called experts. Do you realize if former President Trump did that? And again, I'm not defending, one side over the other, but do you imagine if Trump said the so-called experts and used air quotes, with his fingers. If he did that, people would be saying, whoa, wait a second. What do you mean experts? You mean the medical doctors that's, studied for 7 years and did thousands of hours of medical research before they even, you know, treated a patient. You mean those medical experts, right? And, you know, and some people would say, well, who needs medical experts and doctors when you have political consultants and pollsters or whatever. But I mean, think about the double standard on that one, right? I mean, and by the way, this was sent to me by a Democrat saying, wow, can you imagine? Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing is, yeah, I mean, Cuomo was criticizing the experts that Dare criticized him for his handling. And, and again, look, if they did the same thing to Republicans, and again, I'm not a Republican, I'm an independent, but if they did the same thing to Republicans, I wouldn't say a word. But wow, does he get a pass for everything?
I know. Well, you know what the inside joke is. Cuomo thinks he's God, but God doesn't think he's Cuomo.
Well, God never won an Emmy, and I think Andrew's about to win one, right? He's yeah, when is that going to happen? He'll show that to God. God's done a lot of things. He hasn't won an Emmy.
Can you imagine what that would be like when he finally gets to meet his maker, and he says, why are you going around saying you're me?
That's so funny. Frank McKay here, urging everyone to go to melissaiteljuran.com and watch the documentaries. Watch both of them. She's absolutely wonderful, and you could hear it here. And one thing we should also bring up with all of this, all of this craziness that that goes on, there are people that are from the way far right. I mean the extreme far right that are angry about the treatment of Marjorie Greene, right? Representative Marjorie Greene.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, yeah. From Georgia.
Yeah, yes. But she is, and I have people that sent me, we finally found a leader, and they're sending me things on her. And, then you talk to, regular Republicans, and they're like, oh, what an embarrassment. Oh, my God, this is terrible. Even Kevin McCarthy, right? I mean, he was setting up apologies for her. What's your take on Greene? I mean, she is a... she's a Q member. She's a
a Q non-devotee. Now I don't know if is she a member, an official member, or is she a wannabe?
I don't know what that is, to be honest with you. Like I think they originally started as a website a couple years ago, and they put it up, and they and it caught on, and then the President Trump pumped it up, and gave these guys credibility. And and then you had a couple of people many people that latched onto it, and it became a thing. But I don't know what it means to be a QAnon member. Is there a card? Is there a secret handshake? Is there a high sign?
I don't know about that. But some of their more famous beliefs is that JFK Jr. is actually alive and well, and ready to run with Trump to.
Oh.
Now, wow. I don't know if they put that to that horse to rest. That was one of their core beliefs. I mean, it's amazing what these people think. And the sad part is that many of them, a lot of them, at that Capitol riot were QAnon members.
Yeah. Well, they were certainly following the website. That Doug Jensen, who we've spoken about in the past, he's still in jail. I think they moved them to a D.C. jail. After a judge in Iowa was going to let him out on like house arrest or something like that, and then they said, "Whoa, no, we're not doing that." He was one of the guys leading the way on this whole situation, on this riot, and he was leading a whole crew of people, and he had a QAnon T-shirt on. And again, I'm not sure what it means to be a member. Do you know what it means to be a member of QAnon?
Yeah, I don't know what the dues are. They really are way out there. These are hardcore conspiracy addicts, and even if they don't affiliate with QAnon, they certainly espouse their beliefs. I mean, what she was saying about Rothschild Jews sending space lasers to California to cause fires. I mean, that's beyond a little bit different, That's really, I don't know if she's mentally ill or she's just such a right-wing fanatical redneck with these you know, very blatant anti-Semitic parochial views of the world. But that's really dangerous. I mean, how did she win an election? I mean, this is the same state that sent Warnock and Ossoff to the Senate, and then apparently her district, she got enough votes. I don't know what the particulars are about her election there, but enough people wanted her to go to Congress.
Would she win an election now?
Was she one of the new Congress people? I think she was.
Was she?
And she was given all these House assignments, and they.
They just tore them down. They tore them down.
Yeah, instead of just kicking her out, they removed her from her House assignment.
Yeah, I mean, she's scary. I mean, her frame of thought. By the way, Omar and Tlaib, let's not give them a pass because this one's crazy too. You know, and they didn't. Omar and Tlaib have said some really crazy things, and to me, I mean, I don't know why they have assignments. They have House assignments.
Well, it's a double standard, you know. Nancy Pelosi just, you know, looks the other way. I mean, when she was once asked, "What do you think of AOC?" This was during the 60 Minutes interview.
Yeah.
And she said, and Leslie Stahl couldn't get her to say anything, and she said, "Yeah, she's fine. She's good. She's good. But we have others, you know." And that gave you a hint that she just didn't like AOC. She just wanted to move on from the question.
Yeah.
I think she just puts up with them. They look the other way. They give them a slap on the wrist. I mean, I'm sure that Chuck Schumer is not enthralled with AOC, especially since it's been known that she would love to challenge him in 2 years for his Senate seat.
Yeah. Well, there's a talk that's going to happen, that there's going to be a primary.
I know. Unbelievable. I think she's the least qualified person, but she's the best qualified in mobilizing online support, mass media, I call it. I mean, she's a genius at marketing herself and amassing support in social media, and she speaks to the masses. Meanwhile, I hear another rumor about AOC that she's actually got $1 million bank account.
Wow. Some of these people are the worst socialists in the world.
I know. They don't practice what they preach.
Listen, you don't know in the Senate when it'll come up, and you don't know if this will ever come up, but they may need somebody to do the Breakfast Club dance at the head of the Senate.
Why not?
But, you know, I mean,
they need to have a dance off. They need a dance off.
Yes.
Let's get Chuck Schumer. He could bring a partner, maybe his wife. He could get some ballroom. We'll make it into a Dancing with the Stars kind of thing.
Yeah.
And she can go and waltz around in her you know, Breakfast Club routine and who the winner is.
Well, yeah. Listen, it's a wacky set of characters, and again, someone who's not a wacky character at all. She's got no wackiness in her. Even as a kid, I don't think she was wacky. It is Melissa Eitel-Jern, and if you go to melissaeiteljern.com, you will see a very sane documentary, and then you'll see another sane documentary. No wackiness in her. Frank McKay here, urging everyone to go to melissaeiteljern.com. Melissa, you've never had like a wacky moment even, right? I mean, we've all had them, but I mean, you never.
We've all had, yeah.
Like yeah, but nothing like,
doing.
Nothing like these folks, you know, I mean.
I don't think so. I hope not.
Espousing.
I'm not that crazy. I'm going to say that they've been shooting lasers in California. That's why you have the fires there. I mean, the shooting. Oh, this is one of Marjorie Taylor Greene, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
This is another one of her beliefs, that the shooting at Parkland was staged, that these kids were props or I don't know. Nobody got killed. I mean, it's outrageous. I mean, I don't know where they dug her out, but apparently she had enough supporters in Congress to get her elected, enough supporters in her district, and no one in the Republican Party in Georgia blinked an eye. I guess, I don't know, maybe it's a tale of two cities over there.
Yeah, it's crazy when you talk about Parkland. I've had some of the parents of the victims on the show, and it's heartbreaking. I mean, absolutely heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. I haven't had them on since any of this came up with Marjorie Taylor Greene, But you know, I could just imagine what they're saying. But what does President Trump say about her? Does he doesn't criticize her, right? Is that?
No, I don't think so. She was a, she is a Trump supporter, of course, and she was holding the banner. Holding, you know, she was holding the banner until the very last minute that you know, stopped the steal. I don't think he said anything about her. Maybe she's not significant enough for him to acknowledge.
Well, I don't think, you know, he doesn't, he's not in the, in the practice of criticizing his supporters. And,
yeah,
you know, that's one of the things he doesn't do. If you support him, he sticks with you, kind of no
right.
matter what crazy thing.
Right.
QAnon, what did he say about QAnon? He said, well,
he said,
I know they hate pedophiles or something like that. And that was
right, right. But he see, but then, he, again, he doesn't come go out of his way to defend people like her. I don't think he has. You know, I think he's busy with other things.
Yeah, you know, right. I mean, he's got his mind on other. What has he been doing? What is the Trump update? Do you have anything that that you've seen, and just following
well,
the news? A lot of time
well,
at Mar-a-Lago, right?
Yes. He's at Mar-a-Lago catching up on golf, and he had a meeting with Andrew McCarthy, which House Minority Leader that many people
Kevin McCarthy, right?
Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah, Andrew McCarthy,
Andrew McCarthy
Breakfast
with
Club.
National,
right.
Yeah.
No, actually,
you know,
Andrew McCarthy.
Actually,
what,
National yeah. Review. National Review, Andrew McCarthy.
Right, right, right.
But I'm yes, with Kevin McCarthy, my mistake. But he had a meeting with him. Actually, Kevin McCarthy went down there. Of course, they were all joking. Everybody on late night was saying this was to kiss the ring, you know,
yeah.
Godfather.
Bend the knee.
Because they can't, you know, kiss the ring, whatever, because they can't live without him. I mean, the Republicans feel they, you know, they can't live without him, but they have to, and they don't want to, but they're kind of stuck, you know, in the middle somewhere. And this is the problem. This is the dilemma of the Republican Party. Who are they? What are they going to do now? I think they're pretty damaged since January 6th and since the end of the election. Those who are diehard supporters of Trump, I think, find themselves in very unfriendly waters. And I'm thinking of Senator Ted Cruz and Senator Josh Hawley and of course, you know, Kevin McCarthy. I mean, he's trying to tread, you know, icy waters here. And I don't know what where is the Republican Party going to go, and is there going to be a break off of it? Is there going to be an exile of some groups who are just fed up with the way they, you know, the mainstream Republicans didn't support Trump? Then you have the so-called I guess they're anti-Trumpers, or never-Trumpers, or what the opposition likes to call the rhinos, who really are masquerading as Republicans, a.k.a. Mitt Romney,
yeah.
For example. And just recently, in supporting the impeachment, Liz Cheney,
yeah, wow,
most powerful House Republican, going in step with everybody on the Democratic side and the couple of Republicans, saying she's that Trump is responsible and incited a riot, and therefore he must be impeached.
Yeah.
So that tells you a lot about the health of the Republican Party right now. Where will it go? What will it be in the next 2 years? Will we see the end of the Republican Party? I don't know. I mean, if you go back in history, the Whig Party fell apart and gave birth to, well, I don't know if gave birth, but in their ashes, in their place, came the Republican Party and the Party of Lincoln.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, it's there is always a starting point for something, and maybe this is it. Frank McKay here with Melissa Eitel-Jorn on the Melissa Eitel-Jorn Show. Binge listen to everything that we've been doing here on over 100 outlets, and whatever you're listening to now is fine. But if you want to check out some other outlets, just Google us, and you will be able to hear us on many, many outlets. Appreciate you listening each and every week. Frank McKay here with Melissa Eitel-Jorn. Yeah, you mentioned Liz Cheney. The interesting thing about Liz Cheney is, of course, her father is Dick Cheney. At one point, some argued even more powerful than the president, and in his role as vice president under George W. Bush, but also was part of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under George Herbert Walker Bush, and he represents that group of people, and well, I shouldn't say he does, maybe she does, as a as a, you know, current member of Congress. Look, I don't know what her up and downs have been with her dad, if any, right? But I mean, you know, we hear, and there's been different, you know, talk about, you know, what is the, you know, what is coming from that side of the Republican Party. But the Never Trumpers include, I think, the Bushes and the Cheneys in general. That I think the Bushes. And the people close to Bush openly said that they did not vote for Trump. Am I right about that?
Yeah, you pretty much are. You're right, pretty much on target.
So, I mean, this is a fight for the heart and soul of the Republican Party. And if they if they had their way, and I don't know, you know, again, it's 17 Republican senators. I don't think it's in the cards. And look, if it starts looking like it's getting close, or if they go to a secret ballot, then you know what I'll say. I'll eat my words and I'll say I was wrong, just like Joe Biden. We were wrong about Joe Biden. We thought he was finished and dead in the water. So you never know what's going to happen. But having said that, yeah, maybe there is a fight for the heart and soul of the Republican Party going on right now, and if they could ever get to a secret ballot. Maybe there would be 17 senators willing to do it and willing to make that vote just to start over. Your take on that? I mean, are we at that point? Is that too dramatic? That the Republican Party's soul is at stake here? And I'm not even saying let's take a side. Let's say this side's right or this side's wrong. But are we at that point where the Republican Party now has to decide at this moment who's the face of the party? Is the face of the franchise Donald J. Trump, or is it going to be somebody new? Do you think we're at that point?
That's an interesting question. I don't think it's Donald J. Trump. I think he's still in essence, because most former presidents are. Just as Obama was the I don't know if we should call him the figurehead, but he definitely was the crowning glory of the Democratic Party. And I think there are still many who are you know, pro-Trump. But I think there are those who feel, especially, well, we know what the Never Trumpers, we know what the Lincoln Project, and we know what Liz Cheney thinks, because I don't think she was a big Trump supporter all along anyway.
Right.
But I think if they're going to sit down and assess their future, they're going to have to say, we need somebody else. We just can't hold that. We can't hold that banner. We can't march behind that banner, because it even though 74 million people voted for him, it comes with a tarnish. I mean, this Capitol riot thing. And he didn't say, go ahead and, you know, smash the windows. Okay, maybe he should have been a little more forthright in saying, stop it, stop the violence, stop the insanity, go, you know, and not call them special. But, I mean, you're special people. You just wrecked the Capitol, and you put people's lives at risk, and you may have killed a couple of people, but you're special.
So you're special.
you're really special. But he didn't say go and blow it up, go after Nancy Pelosi, kill AO. No, he didn't say that. Yes, he did shake down the Georgia Secretary of State. That I agree with. I know it sounds ridiculous. We shouldn't be laughing at it, but it was a shakedown. I mean, this is
doubt about it. Let's call it what it is.
Yes, that's right. Okay, so he should get a slap on the wrist for that. But he didn't tell them, you know, okay, go get Nancy. You know, I don't believe that. We know that he's not a professional politician, and people loved him because he just said what was ever on his mind. But I don't know. If the impeachment falls through, there's no telling what he'll do in 4 years. He's lying low right now, and he's not just going to fade out into the, you know, right out in the midnight in the sun, the midday sun. He's going to come back, and he said in some form or another. And I wouldn't be surprised if he attempted to run again.
Yeah, well, that's what I think a lot of people are worried about. But I think there are probably some whispers going on saying, hey, look, ease up. He'll fade away. You know, he's not on Twitter. He's not on Instagram, right? They've you know, they suspended him at a lot of these things. So he's going to fade out of sight, out of mind. And, you know, yeah, he'll have his following, but he's going to get 4 years older. And it's not like he's in his 20s, you know, he's in his 70s and he's going to get older. And as he gets older, he's going to mellow. And, you know, we might not have to deal with this the same way we've dealt with it. And, you know, I think there's some of that going on. I think the most significant thing, and again, MelissaIteljorin.com, speaking of significant things, go to MelissaIteljorin.com and watch the documentaries, please. She's wonderful. And I, look, if there's one thing significant about what's going on now, it's the fact that Liz Cheney, not that she voted against, the fact that she held on to her leadership position, I think is really the headline when you come down to politics. Because if she didn't, that would mean that Trump is in charge. The fact that she went against him and held on to it, that was a weather balloon. That was a trial balloon to go up there and say, you know, let's see if we get through this. And she did, and she held on to her leadership, even though she voted against Trump. Now, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. That's significant.
Yeah, yeah, it is significant. But she you know, she had support for her position. She was there was a secret ballot vote that Kevin McCarthy said occurred so that we don't know who voted for whom, and she retained her position as number three. So,
do we know the votes?
No, we don't. This was a secret ballot.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's significant. If Kevin McCarthy, the one thing I know about leadership in politics, if the leader wants something, it'll happen. So the fact that she's there meant that Kevin McCarthy did very little, if nothing, or on the other, he was proactive to keep her. So the fact that they did a secret ballot was beneficial to Liz Cheney and that side. So again, that's significant. It's the same thing with Nancy Pelosi. Deep down inside, she would love for the squad, the Gang of Four, to fall off the cliff. The Gang of Four, as you call them. She would love for them to fall off a cliff. There's no, you know it, I know it.
Yeah, exactly. And Chuck Schumer would like nothing more for them to just disappear and never come back.
Right. But they can't say it. That's the thing. And they can't do it because it will come back to haunt them. They've got to deal with that left the same way that Kevin McCarthy has to deal with that right. And again, you know, those four have said some terrible things, and especially Omar and Tlaib. I mean, to me, just downright anti-Semitic, you know, not anti-Israel, anti-Semitic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a difference, right? I mean, you can stand. Look, first of all, you and I are both Zionists. You're Jewish, right? You're Jewish, but I am a non-Jewish Zionist. I am a true believer, and I've said it. Yeah, well, I've said it openly my whole life that without Israel, our best friends, without Israel, we are finished in the Mideast. And we're finished. It would just be a powder keg with no semblance of sanity, and would be an absolute disaster. So I'm all for preserving Israel from day one. So, all right, if somebody doesn't agree with that, I'm not saying it's anti-Semitic or whatever, but what Omar and Tlaib have said outright about the Jewish people and about Jews in general is anti-Semitic. I mean, let's face it. The difference between them and Marjorie Taylor Greene is that she didn't get into the lasers and she didn't get into the, you know, outer space stuff and whatever. I wish they did, because then they could remove them. And I would, you know, I would take the three of them and I would drop them off, off the committee, every committee that you could possibly do. And again, you know, you want to say AOC, you want to say, I can't even think of the fourth one, but she's like the Zeppo Marx of the Marx Brothers, right? who is she? What's her name again? I lose her all the time, right? It's Omar Tlaib, AOC, and...
Oh, right. Omar... see, we know these people's faces.
Yeah.
Get their names right. Yeah, we have...
You know what it reminds me of? I remember Seinfeld, the episode, the three tenors. They said Pavarotti, this one, and then the other guy. And the other guy.
The other guy. We know his face. The other guy. Right? Yeah. Whatever. We know. You know who we mean. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Just. Well, look. It's coming down to. I don't know if it's coming down to a showdown. Maybe we're past the drama because people are gonna not. People are not watching the way they were watching under Trump. Under Trump, it was like the ratings. I haven't seen the ratings. Have you seen the ratings for CNN or Fox or any of these things? Are they up, down? I got to believe they're down.
They are down because, well, CNN and MSNBC don't really have their source material. The crux of their momentum was Trump. Now that he's kind of out of the picture and all they have to go by is this so-called impeachment, they really don't have much to go by, so they'll attack something from the past. Well, no, something happens. It's all Trump's fault. Oh, in Chicago, the mayor of Chicago, Lightfoot, is that her name?
Yeah.
Crazy lady. Okay. she's going back. She's wavering with the teachers union. They don't want to work. They just want to stay at home, but they want their shots, which is something else I want to say about inoculations. And she's saying, came back another day after saying, yes, it's safe to go back to school. The people deserve to have their children in school. And then she came back the next day and said, there wouldn't be this situation if it hadn't been the fault of the prior administration. Okay, I don't know what that means. This is what MSNBC and CNN are doing. They're going back. They're grasping for these. They're groping for these straws because they have nothing else to go by. How is it the prior administration's fault that the teachers union in Chicago refuses to go back to work and they want to hold the city hostage, just as the New York City public schools are doing? The union has a very tight grip around the neck of the city, and the money is unbelievable. I mean, I've never seen such benefits. And they demand that the teachers be inoculated. Not everybody's in the classroom, though. I know some teachers who are teaching from the comfort of their home. I'm not disparaging them. I'm not minimizing the difficulty of their job. But why do you need a shot when somebody else more deserving needs it and can't get it? What makes you so special? You're teaching remotely.
Yeah. Well, listen, I get that. Yeah, no doubt. And I understand that. I appreciate teachers. I know I'm speaking to a teacher here. I'm the son of a teacher, and I understand that argument. But I'll tell you what, here's my only take, is we're relying on government, and it's frightening, especially here in New York. We're relying on government to administer these shots properly. And God knows, for all we know, we know for sure that there's already some that rotted because they spoiled because they weren't kept on ice or they weren't doing this. We're counting on this. And I don't want to say it's every man for himself, every man, woman, and child for themselves. But the thing is, like, if you can get inoculated somehow or another, maybe keep it quiet, keep it to yourself, get it done. Get it done when you can get it, when you have the opportunity to do it. This is kind of how I feel, and I know it's the wrong thing for nobody wants to hear people say that, but I have such little faith in government, federal government, local government, state government, and I've been around it for forever. To me, it's like putting chimpanzees in charge of a hand grenade factory. Let me remind everyone once again, you're listening to the Melissa Itell-Joren Show. Frank McKay here, urging everyone to go to melissaitelljoren.com. And I watch the documentaries, but binge listen to everything that we've been doing here. And Melissa, what I was just saying, is basically, look, if you can get your shots, I think get your shots. And I feel terrible in saying that. But once again, I have very little faith in government handling this. And I was just saying, it's like putting chimpanzees in charge of a hand grenade factory. When you put government people, I don't care if they're elected or not elected, but government people in charge of these vaccines, it's very frightening. Your thoughts on all of that?
Yeah, I think this is all this whole system, this process has been flawed from the beginning, and it's a mess. And okay, I understand this. First responders, all those people in the important categories deserve to get it. I have a question, though, about teachers who are not teaching immediately,
right,
and maybe indefinitely remote, and they're not in any imminent danger. But what about people who have pre-existing conditions or over the age of 75, over 70, et cetera, and they can't get appointments? And every day is a battle to get an appointment, only to find out, well, the appointment's been canceled, we ran out of vaccine. The nearest appointment is 300 miles away, and you hear about people just desperate.
Yeah.
And Florida doesn't want anybody coming in, any of these winter birds, from New York saying, oh, well, I have a winter residence here, give me my shot, because they're being overwhelmed and they want to put a stop to that. They want to give it to their permanent residence. But when you hear about people who are not deserving of it, such as, some of these teachers, I'm not saying they shouldn't be vaccinated, but I don't think they are a priority right now.
Yeah, I agree.
They're remote. Right. Yeah, it's not fair. I'm sorry. It's they're living the life of Riley. They've got the best benefits package. I'm not saying that, and I'm not disparaging their job. It's probably hell on earth. Some of them have been there forever, and they just walk. They're not really teaching. They're collecting checks, for their mortgage, their lifestyle, whatever. And so it's like they're just walking through. It's just taking the steps. They're not actually killing themselves in any way, especially if they are home teaching remotely. They can probably wait. Why should someone who is in dire need, an elderly person, a person with a compromised immune system, underlying conditions, cancer, God forbid, why should that person have a hassle and not be able to get vaccinated? This isn't right. This isn't a total travesty. And it's been mismanaged, going state by state, especially in New York. We all know what Governor Cuomo has been doing. He hasn't helped the situation
right
at all. And
and
then you have these so-called celebrities posing as other than what they are. There is a soul cycle. This was in the New York Post. A soul cycle instructor. People who subscribe to Peloton, to the other programs. Who go to a soul cycle class. They deal with the public, but not in such a dramatic way. Well, this woman who is a soul cycle celebrity instructor in the Hamptons, somehow or other she convinced she got her point because she convinced them that she is an educator. So she went to Staten Island, and she got her shot, and she's bragging about it on all her social media, and then she got backlash for that. And she had to take that down. I mean, that is so...
Yeah, that's what they shouldn't do, is brag about it. Like I said, I agree with you 100%. The only thing is, anybody who can get their shot, when they get it, just keep your mouth shut about it and get it done.
Right. There are people less fortunate than you who can't get it. I won't be able to get it. Maybe 3 years from now I'll get it. I'm at the bottom of the list.
No, my God. That's terrible. Terrible. Well, listen... we can do a whole show just on the vaccine. We could do 10 shows on the vaccines. So far, they've been handling them terribly. And I know it's not an easy thing to do. Hopefully, things are getting better. Now, Johnson & Johnson, right, are getting in the mix, right? Is that a new...
That's the latest, yes.
All right, so hopefully that. Is there a fourth one on the horizon? Do we see something on the horizon coming? Well, we don't know yet.
There's another company based out of the UK that is trying to make its way in on the stage, but Johnson & Johnson is trying to get early certification, early approval. They claim theirs is just one dose and one and done, and that's it.
Yeah.
So, and I hear things. I've been hearing things about Moderna and the side effects, and I don't want to scare anyone off. And everybody is different. Everyone is going to react differently.
Yeah.
Some people feel nothing. Some people feel a lot, and they're sick afterwards. But it would be a welcoming sign to have another alternative.
Well, listen, it's just it's going to be the ongoing story until it's done, until this vaccine is administered and the pandemic is behind us. Who knows when that'll be? Not a bad place to end. Melissa, I tell Joran, thank you very much. And to everyone out there listening, thank you very much for listening each and every week. Melissa, last word on everything?
Just stay tuned for more more political zaniness coming out of Washington, and we'll see. We'll see just where this impeachment heads, where it goes. Trump, by the way, said he's not going to testify. I mean, I could have said that too.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a surprising announcement. I wouldn't.
Yeah, well, why would you? He doesn't have to, and why would you? Why would you go up there and be grilled? You know,
no,
why?
Ridiculous.
Why not?
Yeah.
No surprise there. Anyway. Melissa, itelljuran.com is where to go. Melissa, thank you, and everyone else out there, thank you for listening.
Thank everyone.
No doubt about it. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you next time on the Melissa Itell Juran Show.
You've been listening to Melissa Itell-Juran and co-host Frank McKay on Breaking It Down Radio.